Turn with me in your Bibles back to 1 John, where we looked this morning. 1 John chapter 1, and I'd like to just pick up where we left off. John, beginning in the 5th verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now here, John says, this is the message. This is the message. This is the message that we've heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "This message I want to declare." I said this morning, the gospel is a declaration. And we are assured that in the declaration, in the preaching, in the setting forth of the gospel, we have confidence in this one thing, that Almighty God is going to call out His people. Now, you see, if you do not believe the gospel of God's free grace, if you don't believe this, you then believe a message that absolutely has no assurance whatsoever that there's going to be anyone saved. What you're saying, if you believe that man is the final word in salvation, then there's got to be that possibility by deduction that maybe there's nobody that's going to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? But if we believe, and we do, that Almighty God has promised that His sheep are going to hear His voice, then that is the encouragement. We know, we believe this message is effectual. We believe that every time the gospel is set forth, that it's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. We know that. You say, "Well, but there's sometimes that the gospel is preached and we don't see any response." Well, what difference does that make? What's that got to do with it? He didn't call me to see response. He called me to preach the gospel. He said, "You go into all the world and you preach the gospel." This is where God has raised up a place. This is where the Lord put me. And so here we are. We declare. John says, "This is the message that we've heard, effectually heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light." The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8:12, He said, "I am the light of the world." I am the light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. So when John said, "This is the message that we declare unto you, God is light," you know what he just said? The Lord Jesus Christ is God. God. The Word, the eternal Word. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now listen, what we're saying is this. We have placed our faith in God Himself. God. God is light. Now the significance of that declaration, turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. For John to make that statement in 1 John 1, this is the message we've heard of him, declaring to you, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And the light, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, light Himself, God is light, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now turn over to John 3. John 3, 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. The Scripture says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." As Brother Scott just read a moment ago, he's not condemned. He's not condemned right now. Man that believes on Him is not condemned now. Right now. And now is all we've got. Now is all we've got. Let me ask you this. Have you got yesterday? Have you got tomorrow? No. You know what you got? Now. Right now. Now is the day of salvation. He that believeth, verse 18, on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For John, back in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, for John to say, this is the message we've heard. This is the message we believe. This is the message we declare. This is the one that we declare. God is light. That takes a believer to say that. That takes a new heart to say that. And believe it. I know a man can say it with his mouth. But to believe it, to say it, God is light. As the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, illuminates the new heart to behold Him as God's salvation. Think back, and you can, before Almighty God called you out of darkness. Did you behold Him as God's salvation, eternal salvation, everlasting salvation, that God's purpose in eternity to save His people, that Christ came to save those elect, that He laid down His life for them. Is that the way you saw Him? No. No, it's not. The way you saw Him was the way that false preachers were telling you. He wanted to do something. John says He's light. He's the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He is light, for all things are judged according to Him. The plummet will be laid, and we're going to be laid against Him who is light. And a man doesn't line up with Him, in Him, by Him, is lost. He's pure. When He says God is light, He's pure and holy in nature, and illuminates all things such that there is no hiding from Him. He is omniscient. He's light. He's light. And in Him, John says, there's no darkness at all. There's no darkness. Now, do you know what darkness is? What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. It's the absence of light. If the Lord Jesus Christ is light, He is light, then that means that there is absolutely nothing within Him contrary to the glory of His holiness. God is light, and in Him there is no mixture of impurity, no darkness whatsoever, no absence of Himself, no darkness of error, no darkness of sin, no darkness of ignorance. Almighty God is light, and that's the way His character is described here by John. This is the message. John says, this is the message. This is the message. Now, you know, if a man says, this is the message that we've heard from Christ Himself, God is light. The Lord Jesus Christ said concerning Himself, He said, I am God. I'm He. I'm He. If we say, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. If we say that we have communion with Him, fellowship, you know what fellowship is. Fellowship. If we say we have fellowship and we walk in the absence of light, we lie. That is, in unbelief. Now, that's what walking in darkness is. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in unbelief, we lie. Now let me show you what walking in darkness is. Turn with me to John 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. John 12, verse 35. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. What is it to walk in darkness? It is to know not the way. It is to know not the Lord Jesus Christ. He that walks in darkness does not know where he's going. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. A man that walks in Him, that has fellowship in Him, knows that He's the way. Man by nature. Now you listen to me. You talk to anybody that does not know. I was talking to Brother Scott about this yesterday. You talk to somebody that does not know by faith the gospel of God's grace, knows Christ, and this is their interpretation. They say we're all coming from different directions, but we're all heading to the same place. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you may go your way, you know, and I may go this way, but you know, it's all like great spokes, you know, of a wagon wheel, and the hub is where we're going. Well, the only problem with that is it's just not so. It's just not true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. There's one way. There's one way. There's one spoke. One. And you try to make a wagon wheel out of that if you want to. But I'm telling you, He said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. He that walks in darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ said, is the one that does not know where he's going. Does not come by Christ. Does not come to Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, the darkness of our sinful nature, we are liars. We're lying and we're of our father, the devil, who is the liar. And we do not the truth. If we walk, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, now you know, I can understand. I can read where it says if we walk in darkness, and I can see where the Lord said, if you walk in darkness, this is what that is. You don't know where you're going. You're like those that were in Sodom. And I'll not go back there and read it. I'll just tell you what happened. You know what happened. There was a group of people, group of men, and they were, you know, coming after. There was these two angels that came in to Sodom, and they came there to get Lot. They came to Lot's house, and these men were coming around, and they started saying, we want... How about sending those two men out? You know, and Lot said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll send you. How about my daughters? You take my daughters. No, we'd rather have the men. And said the angels came out and blinded them. And it says they groped looking for the door and couldn't find it. Blinded. They didn't know where they were. Walking in darkness. They couldn't see. Darkness. Absence of light. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and you need to get up and it's so dark and you're groggy and you can't find and you're trying to find your way around. You're disoriented. You don't know where you're going. Spiritual darkness is a man that does not know where he's going, doesn't know where he's at. But the Lord said through John in verse 7, I said that to say this, I can understand what he's talking about when he says, if we walk in darkness. But he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Walking in the light. Now, what is that? If we walk in the light. Amos 3:3 says this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together in fellowship? If we say we have fellowship with him. You know, if we have fellowship with Him, if we walk with Him. So walking in the light is to walk in agreement with God Almighty. We agree with Him. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John 6. If we walk in the light, that is John 6, 65. John 6, 65. And He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to some people here that had appeared as though that they were walking with Him. They were traveling with Him. They walked with Him. But something became very evident in just a few minutes. It says, from that time, after the Lord said, no man can. You know, you start saying something that gets to a man's ability. And you start telling him that the Lord says, no man can. No man has the ability to come unto me unless it were given unto him of my Father. You try to take a man's free will away from him, and this is what's going to happen. Unless God does something for him. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now something happened right here. Two groups of people here. One of them walked no more with Him, and one of them continued to walk with Him. And you know what the difference was? One of them agreed with Him, and the other one didn't. How can a man, if we say we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we agree with Him. We say, Lord, as You say You are, You are. And if we walk in the light, verse 7 of 1 John, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, us with Him, as I said this morning. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. If we walk in fellowship, if we agree in Him, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us. That word cleanseth right there doesn't mean one time. It means cleanses. And cleanses and cleanses. You remember when the Lord was going to wash His disciples' feet? Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord says, if I wash not your feet, you have no part with me. What the Lord has told me, He said, you're clean. But there's a cleansing. Every day, there's a continual cleansing. He cleanses us. He cleanses us. Every day, the frailty of this flesh is very evident. And He cleanseth us. He cleanseth us, look at this, from all sin. All sin. The sin of Adam was imputed to me, charged to me. That makes me guilty, number one, by Adam's sin. Death from Adam reigned on all men. But how about the present sin of my own disobedience? How about my own failings? There's enough sinfulness and unbelief, as I've said in the message that I'm preaching right now. The word that I preach is right and true. But the frailty of this flesh, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, He spoke as the light. No darkness whatsoever in Him. Could I say that about myself? No. No. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanses me now and cleanses me forever. Cleanses me from eternal evil and eternal damnation. From the sins of commission and the sins of omission. Things that I do and things that I should have done. For Him to know to do right. For him to know to do right and to do it not. To him it's sin. It's sin. A man is out plowing in his field. Goes out there and he gets it. There's a hard-working man. Goes out there and hooks up those mules, hooks up that team, and gets out there and plows, works hard all day long. I'm telling you, if that man that plowed that field did it honorably, took care of his family, made a living, honorable living, if that man did not do that, and he didn't, in absolute, total dependence and faith and belief and trust, total, perfectly, as God Himself, to him it was sin, Carl. It's sin. Anything that's not a faith, perfect faith, absolute, perfect faith, anything that's not a faith is sin. Sin. John says, if we walk in the light, now do I walk in myself perfectly? Oh, you know better than that. But I'll tell you this, in Him I'm perfect. In myself I'm not, oh wretched man that I am. But if I walk in the light, if I walk in the light, then I agree with Him. If I agree with Him, it's because He'd give me a heart to agree with Him. He'd give me a heart. He keeps me. He's made me to agree with Him. He made me willing in the day of His power. I walk in Him, and I walk absolutely knowing that without Him I can do nothing. I know that sin is present with me. I know it is. I know it manifests itself. I know it does. But thanks be to God, if I walk in the light as He's in the light, if I've been made by His grace to agree with Him, I have fellowship with Him. I walk with Him. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us, cleanseth me from all sin. That's my hope right there. I know that in myself I can't measure up. I know I can't. We're going to deal with that right now. If we say, verse 8, that we have no sin. We have no sin. Now, you know, I got to looking at this. It says in verse 8, and I'm going to go down and deal with verse 10 in just a second. But it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, you think the Spirit of God was being repetitive there? You think He just didn't have anything else to say, so He just put another verse in there just to kind of add a little something? He says two things there. We're going to deal with the first one right now. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now that word, sin, right there, if we say we have no sin, that word right there means the governing principle within that is the source of all evil actions. Sin, right here, is described as an organized power. In Romans 6:6, it's called the body of sin. And is this what men think is free? Man has a free will. John says, if we say that we have no body of sin, no source, a body itself, a body of sin, if we say that we have no sin, if there's nothing in us that is the production of sin itself, if we say that we have no sin, no governing principle within, we deceive ourselves. We willfully deceive ourselves. Now, you know, that's a strange thing. How can I fool myself? I might fool you, you know. I might make you think that I'm something. I might convince you that I'm able to do so and so. I can deceive you. But deceive myself? You know, how do you deceive yourself? How do you fool yourself? Buddy, there's the deceptiveness of which man by nature knows nothing about. The heart is desperately wicked. And it's deceitful above all things. The human heart deceives and convinces me, left to myself, convinces me that I'm right before God. Desperately wicked above all things. If we say we have no body of sin that is within us, that we are not sin itself, if we say we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, the truth Himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the truth is not in you. He's not there. This admittance of no sin is the human nature, the human heart, the natural man. If the truth dwells within, how can one be but truthful? If truth Himself is within, that's when a man be honest. He'll be honest. If we say that we have no sin, and you know what a believer will say? He said just what Paul said. I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. No, to will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Sin is present. Here, right here, we say we have no source body of sin. This is the attitude of the self-righteous man, that Pharisee that said, I'm not like other men are, especially not like that publican put over there. Well, I fast twice a week, you know. I tithe everything I have, you know. If we say we have no sin, I'll tell you what we're saying. We don't need a substitute. I don't need one. Why? Because I am not sin. I'm not sin. Christ was made to be sin. You know why He was made to be sin? Because that's what we are by nature. That's what we are. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Man says that he has no source of sin, no body of sin, because he doesn't feel like he has any sin. Man can tell himself he's all right, but our feelings and our carnal heart is a deceitful judge. Satan, the great liar, says, you have no sin. You're okay. That man who has no love for Christ is saying in his heart, I have no sin. If we confess our sins, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, I remember as a young kid, I was taught, you know, I came up in religion, I was taught that, you know, that I need to ask the Lord to forgive me and to, you know, to forgive me for my sins and to, you know, that I could confess my sins and, you know, and I did. I remember in my mind, I just, you know, and in my mind, I thought that the way that you confess your sins is just tell the Lord you're sorry. Just say you're sorry. Just admit it, you know. I came up in a place where I would go and I would confess my sins to another man. And he would tell me to do some certain things. And I would do what he told me to do. And those sins were, as far as I knew, were put away. Confess them. Just confess them. That's all you got to do. Well, let me ask you this. What are you going to do with the justice of Almighty God? What are we going to do with justice, Neil? Justice. Now, the Lord said, I'm a just God. We'll deal with that in closing. I'm winding this down. But He said, I'm a just God. What are you going to do with justice? I told you last week, take a dagger, stick it in somebody's heart, and just tell them, I'm sorry. It was me. I was the one. I'm sorry. I confessed it. Is it better now? Does that make it better? Confession. If we confess our sins, what is it to confess our sins? Now, I think that's pretty important. What is it to confess? If we confess our sins, now I know this. I know that there's got to be something more to this confession than what meets the carnal eye. I'll tell you why. Because I've read in Scripture where there was some that did confess, you know, that pleaded, and the Lord left them. Left them to themselves. How about Esau? You know, the Lord says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And Esau came in and he was hungry. And Jacob had made a pottage. And Esau said, I want that. And Jacob said, give me your birthright and I'll give you something to eat. He said, what is that to me? You can have it. You can have it. And Jacob gave him something. It said later that Esau sought repentance with tears and couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. How about Judas? After Judas had betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, said he came back later to the chief priest and stuff, said, I changed my mind. They said, that's blood money. And it says that took it and threw the money down. They took it and went and bought a field to bury people in. And it says, and Judas went and hanged himself and went to his place. There's a couple of instances there where I've seen where men tried and confessed. And, you know, what is this? What is he saying right here? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is it that a man just has to say, I'm sorry, it's over, I confess, is that all there is to it? Turn with me to Leviticus. I don't want to keep you too long, but I want to show you this. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16 and verse 20. Now this is speaking about Aaron was the high priest, and the priest, high priest, was the one that is making this action, doing this action here. He's the high priest, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place. And he's talking about Aaron now, the high priest. Reconciling the holy place in the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall beat upon him, and the goat shall beat upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. Now here's what would happen. This high priest would come in, and he would take and he would lay his hands on this goat, on this goat's head, and he would confess the sins of the people. And then that goat was turned, that scapegoat. That goat was turned loose, and he would go out into an uninhabited place, a place far away. No people, nothing there. The high priest confessed the sins of the people, laid his hands, and legally those sins were in God's eyes, but in type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Laid on him the sins of his people, imputed to him. And the Scripture says that we are priests with God. Priests with him. Now we are made priests unto God to offer up spiritual sacrifices by Jesus Christ. And the believer in his confession, when he confesses, it's not merely that a man just says, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. God is a just God. In the confession of our sins, we are pleading for mercy on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Based on Him, the believer lays his hands of faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ in His sacrifice. We lay hold of Him, laying hold of Him, and confesses, pleading, totally based on His merit of His shed blood for those sins. And by faith, we believe that Christ has paid the debt of these sins. And we say, Lord,
for your sake. Lord, I confess before you. I don't even know how to confess. I don't confess. I can't confess all that I've done. I don't know the depth that I've done. Here's what I confess. Lord, I am in need of your mercy. And I plead the blood of Christ that was shed for me, He who is faithful. If we confess our sins based totally on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, having put those sins away, put them away in His precious blood, shed His blood for them, put them back behind God's back, far as the east is from the west, if we confess them, not based on our confession, but based on His merit, He put them away. If we confess our sins for His sake. You see, if we have fellowship, we agree with Him. God says, I put them away. If we walk in darkness, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we don't walk in the light, that God Almighty is light itself, Christ is light, we're liars. If we confess our sins based on His merit, based on His blood, based on His work, based on Him, if we confess them, Lord, You said. You said. You put them away. Lord, I believe it. Oh, I see in me. Lord, I see. I'm missing the mark. I see the sin that's in, the sin that so easily besets me. Lord, I confess to You. Lord, based on Your merit, I confess. Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful and just. He is faithful to His covenant, faithful to His Word, faithful to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's just. He justly forgives us our sins. If the debt has been paid, if He paid my debt, if He put away my sin, if He paid my penalty, justice demands, let Him go. Let Him go. Be not guilty. You get a man in prison, if that man's debt is paid, if that man's debt is paid, the law has no hold on him whatsoever. Let him go. Let that sinner go. That's what justice says. Justice says that debt was paid. It was paid at Calvary. Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, put it away. He's free. No condemnation right now. Right now. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It wouldn't be just for God to demand a double payment. God is just and faithful to Himself. God is just and faithful to His elect, based totally on the merit of Christ Himself. And the Spirit of God prompts us to confess. That word, confessing right there, it is based, our confession is based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know that word confession right there, you know what it means? To tell out to and to agree with. To agree. Man by nature says, I have no sin. God Almighty reveals to a man, you're a sinner and you need me. I am your hope. I am your salvation. And Almighty God prompts a man, confess what he is. Lord, as you say, I am. I am. The Spirit of God causes us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And then that last verse, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Back in verse 8, I said a while ago that that word right there, if we say we have no sin, no body of sin within us, no body, no source of sin, that word right there, that's what it means. It means like the source of, the source of. This word right here, back in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, that is the manifestations of it. You know why a dog barks? Because he's a dog. He barks because he's a dog. You know why a man commits acts of sin? Because there's a body of sin within him that is the source of it.
out of the abundance of man's heart, his mouth speaks. Whatever a man is, that's what he does. The reason you act the way you act is because of what you are. It's what you are. You've got a different people in here. They've got different mannerisms, characteristics. They do things differently. You do what you do because of what you are. If we say that we have not manifested, in verse 10, this body of sin, what we're doing is we're calling God a liar. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word there means missing the mark. Missing the mark. If we say that we haven't missed the mark, what we're saying is, God, you've lied. We call God a liar. We've missed the mark in word, thought, and deed, and His Word is not in us. If we confess our sins, though, it's because He's given us a heart to do so. We realize Almighty God has put away my guilt in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.